Thanks for hanging out with us. This is Kirk, and you're listening to Chasing Sound, KVRX HD3 on your HD radio. We're streaming us live at koop.org. We're going to have a good time tonight. I know Instrumentality brought you the weird and wonderful marimba. We're going to go a little bit more on Main Street this evening. Tonight, we're going to take a look at funk. And for those of you who are fans of funk, you know that I can't encapsulate it in 1-hour-long show. So I had to take a small slice of the history of funk. My apologies to hardcore James Brown fans. Really, if I had several hours to do this show, the first track I would have played definitely would have been Cold Sweat by James Brown. That was the great sea change. If you look at the history of black music in America, you have these changeovers where suddenly a style that is completely dominating as far as record sales, concert attendance, things like that. Suddenly a generation grows up and then this new generation comes in and they want their own sound. So funk really picked up the baton from the blues, the first wave of electric blues, the rhythm and soul music. And James Brown, to his credit, would not be left behind. He sort of stopped on a dime and went from this incredible soul sound to doing the song Cold Sweat, which was sort of the starting gun for this new movement of funk, which became so popular and so unique. The thing that gets me about funk to this day, when I look back on the great records from that, let's say like 69 to 83, that great stretch of time, it's a genre like no other in that it just exuded blackness, specifically American blackness. It was some of the most danceable, and as far as music that you can party to, I don't know if there's ever been anything better. And it's not just one thing. You know, if you think of a funk beat, or if you're a musician, you think of it as heavy emphasis on the one, and not just doing four on the floor, disco style, pulsing rhythms that don't really change. With funk, it's something different. When you hit the one of the beat, it comes with this accent and this sort of, I don't even know what. It's got that unnameable quality where it just adds this grime to the drum beat that just gets down into your bones. And it's so interesting. And you have to imagine what it must have been like to be a teenager when Cold Sweat first hit the radio and just how fresh that must have sounded. So tonight we're going to pick it up a little bit later so that we can fit this into the time frame of an hour. We're going to start off with the man himself, George Clinton. So initially, George Clinton worked as a hairstylist. He was one of the few guys in his community who could do the hair relaxer, where you would put what was basically like lye and potato water into the hair of his customers. These were black gentlemen from the neighborhood, and give them that cool doo-wop look where you relax the hair and you shaped it up. And he sort of became known as the guy. No one could really do it as well as him. He got all the customers, and he and his fellow barbers, hairstylists, would sing a cappella in the barbershop. And eventually they put together a group, and they named it after a popular brand of cigarettes called Parliament. So they put out some records, and it's, you know, the whole thing is quite sordid. At some point, George Clinton got his hands on some counterfeit money. He had made some deal with a guy and ended up with, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of counterfeit cash. And he would do these deals with the studios, say, like, I'll either give you 200 real dollars for this studio time, or you can have 2,000 in the counterfeit. And they would take this counterfeit money and throw it into ground coffee and wrinkle it up and kind of dirty it so it looked way more legit. And they ended up financing their early singles for this, I forget the name of the record label. The label didn't last very long, but they had one song that was a minor hit called Testify, which later got re-recorded, and some of you might have heard it on the P-Funk record, but the original version of it was released as a single, was a pretty big hit, and that record label they released it on ended up folding mysteriously, sort of vanishing, and with that label went the name Parliament, or the Parliaments. So he started rebranding, and this is something that would go on for George Clinton's career. He had this idea that if you've only got one band, well, you live and die by that one band. That band may make it or they may not. If you got five bands, you got five chances to make it, and that's how he did it. He started putting out records under Funkadelic, P-Funk, everybody who was in his band would, or the major players in his band, Bootsy Collins, Eddie Hazel, they all had solo albums. His backup singers, they had their own female-driven solo stuff. And it was this idea that you would sort of create this whole other world. And if you're familiar with George Clinton's music, you know exactly what I mean. This guy at one point sunk every dime he ever made into building a spaceship that would fly out from the side of the stage and land, and he would exit this spaceship called the Mothership, and you've just never seen a crowd lose their mind until the front man of the band they're about to see gets brought onto the stage by a spacecraft that looks like it came from another planet. Just unbelievable, the ideas this guy had, and the places he took it, and even his eventual downfall through drugs was more interesting than most people's downfall. And he just kept coming back, whether it be his music being used for hip-hop, the first wave of hip-hop coming out of New York, or the hits he had, even when everyone had written him off, this guy just kept coming back with interesting, fresh content. And to me, he's the most important person in the history of funk. Some would argue that James Brown, Rick James, whatever. There's a lot of very important and unbelievable figures in the history of funk. But I don't know. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone more all-encompassing of the attitude and the aesthetic that makes funk. So tonight, I'm actually not going to play any Parliament tracks because I'm going to do one Funkadelic track and then one solo Eddie Hazel song. So that's sort of two people or two tracks from the George Clinton camp, and I didn't want to make the whole playlist to be a whole overkill of George Clinton. So tonight we're going to kick it off with a track from the album. I think this came out in 1970. This was the second Funkadelic album called Free Your Mind, and it's unbelievable where this band was taking it. If you listen to the first four or five Funkadelic albums, there's really never been another band like it. And I wouldn't say that they were straight ahead funk in the classic sense. If you listen to Rick James or something, they were more of this mixture of almost Black Sabbath and funk coming together in this very weird, trippy way. They didn't sell a lot of records. That's what a lot of people don't realize. In hindsight, you look back at these classic albums and you think they must have been huge hits, but they weren't really. It wasn't until P-Funk started having hits like Flashlight that it really took off as far as commercial record sales. Funkadelic was more of a passion art project. It definitely had its fans, but it didn't go over like gangbusters. It wasn't a huge hit factory, but those records are so important and so unique in the whole American soundscape of music, and you can't talk about them enough. They are so important and so interesting and dense. There's just, think of a record like Maggot Brain. Have you ever heard anything like that in your life? It's one of the weirdest things ever committed to tape. So yeah, without talking too long about that, we're going to kick it off with a track. Let me just load up my deck here. From the 1970 album, Free Your Mind. This is a track called Friday Night, August 14th, which is very literally about a specific date. And this guy is sort of taking you through the story of what this date meant to him. And just listen to it. Listen to the way the guitar is done, the way the groove is, and just how haphazard the vocal is. It's so much fun. So yeah, kicking us off tonight, Funkadelic. Yeah.
Did you know that you can support Co-op Radio when you use Ride Austin? Nonprofit Ride Austin, created with Austin values in mind, helps harness the giving spirit of the Austin community. When you ride local with Ride Austin, you can round up your fare and designate Co-op Radio to receive your donation. For more information and to download the Ride Austin app, you may visit rideaustin.com. Support for Co-op comes from Malvern Books, specializing in literature and poetry from independent publishers, with a focus on lesser-known and emerging literary voices. Malvern Books is located at 29th and Rio Grande, with on-site parking available. Open 7 days. More information at malvernbooks.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Right before the break there, we had Cool in the Gang with Jungle Boogie, one of my favorite toe tappers. If you're not too much into the genre of funk, you might remember that song from the Pulp Fiction soundtrack at the beginning of that film, in the opening scene with Tim Roth in the cafe, or the diner. The movie sort of kicks into high gear with the robbery, and they play a Dick Dale and the Tornadoes song, that surf rock song. That's so good. And then the scene sort of morphs when you get into Jules and Vincent in the car, and then you hear the sound of a radio dial turning, and it clicks over to Cool in the Gang, Jungle Boogie. Great use of music and film there. That's, you know, I wouldn't say that song sums up Cool in the Gang. That's sort of an oddball track. I'm a big fan of Cool in the Gang, and they have a lot of stuff that's way more commercially appealing, a little bit closer to Earth, Wind, and Fire. And they've got a lot of weird sort of left turn tracks. One of my favorites of theirs is Summer Madness, which is a cool, trippy Moog synthesizer-based instrumental that is perfect for testing out a new stereo. If you ever need to test out a new stereo or a new pair of good headphones, Summer Madness by Cool and the Gang, that'll do the job. It has a great analog synthesizer roll-off, and the difference between the highs and the lows in that song are just powerful, and you can really put a new set of speakers or a new set of headphones, put it through the paces with that. So tonight we're going to be looking at a slice of the history of funk, one of the greatest genres of all time. It's sort of picked up the popular culture and the imaginations of specifically young Black American youth. As the electric blues was sort of waning from popularity, funk came along with the help of James Brown's song Cold Sweat and sort of revived that community with a whole new fresh sound. Before Cool in the Gang, we heard Funkadelic, Friday Night, August the 14th, off their Free Your Mind album, which came out in 1970. And we're going to be covering, I'd say, probably 1970 through to about maybe 1982, 10 or 12 years of the funk history. I don't have enough time tonight to go into a full layout of the thing, but I'm going to hopefully turn you on to some stuff you maybe haven't heard before, try to dig a little bit deeper than average. So thanks so much for hanging out with us. This is Chasing Sound. You're hearing us KVRX HD3 on your HD radio, or streaming us live at koop.org. It's New Year's Eve in Austin, Texas, as well as most places, or a lot of places anyhow. If you're in the United States, Happy New Year. I hope you stay safe tonight. I myself took a Lyft, sort of like a ride share program like Uber tonight. I don't usually use those things, but tonight I didn't, you know, I'm just coming to do a radio show. I'm not drinking or anything, but I didn't even want to be driving out in that mess tonight. So stay safe tonight. Take the bus. They have late bus schedules in most major cities tonight. Take a cab, take an Uber. Trust me, it's cheaper than a DWI. So if you feel like you're broke and you can't afford it, just think about the comparative cost of hiring a lawyer and dealing with all that madness. So yeah, be safe tonight. Be careful. Take care of your friends. Don't let your friends be stupid and drive drunk. Everybody have a good time and keep it nice and safe so you can live till tomorrow and tell the stories of all the dumb stuff you did tonight. You might be staying home. I know my roommates are probably hanging out at home tonight. Me and my friends, we all had a party on Friday that was really cool. So I think a lot of us are just hanging out at home tonight. I know after I finish this show, that's what I'm going to do. Maybe watch a movie. Who knows? I don't, might rewatch that new Black Mirror episode, the Choose Your Own Adventure thing. I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to have a good time with you tonight getting into the ether of funk. Next track we have coming up is Rick James. There's a lot of important people on tonight's playlist, but I don't know if there's one more important than Rick James. He meant so much to the community and so much to Black American culture. He should have been the thing that crossed over into MTV and became the biggest thing in the world, but that crown went to Prince. But Rick James was one of the first big acts to take Prince on the road with him, and his history is amazing. So he initially had joined the military and then quickly went AWOL and went to Canada and started a band with none other than Neil Young. And the band was doing really well and actually ended up getting signed to Motown. And it was when he was coming back to the States to deal with his contracts and stuff with Motown that he ended up getting arrested for going AWOL from the military and ended up doing some time in a military jail, which blew the record deal that he, Neil Young, and the other guys in his band had. It's crazy to think. You listen to Rick James classic records and think, that dude was in a band with Neil Young? But that's how it was at the time. You know, it was a small community of musicians, and those two guys were players, and they could both really put a song together. So they ended up working together at a very young age, and it was torn apart by circumstance. But after doing his time in jail, Rick James got out and he dedicated himself to the cause, and he slowly built up this empire of funk and made some of the most impressive records for the genre. Never really got out of the predominantly Black audience thing, but like I said, he brought Prince on the road when Prince had, you know, had just put out like his first album. Prince had been kicked off of a Rolling Stones tour because I guess the Stones weren't too into his antics, and Rick James picked him up, and Rick James noticed very quickly that Prince was super funky, but that a lot of white kids went out to see him, and Rick James was like, you know, that's interesting to me that this guy is able to appeal to white kids, which Rick James just wasn't seeing a lot at his show, and he wanted to sort of pick this new kid's brain a little bit and see what he had going for him. Now, Prince was a lot lighter as far as funk fare goes, but he was still very much funky, especially those early records. There was no denying that he owed a lot to James Brown, particularly the mustache era of James Brown, and to Rick James. So this is the guy. If you think funk in its truest and grittiest and most raw and the most epic stage performances, there's just really nothing better than Rick James. I'm going to play a track from his, I think it came out in 1980, 81. It was an album called Street Songs. And the track I'm going to play for you now is Ghetto Life. And you just have to close your eyes and imagine yourself at one of his shows. Huge costumes, antics, girls dancing, people in amazing outfits, everybody with just amazing hair and just this groove. And there's nobody standing there with their legs locked, holding up, you know, a lighter at his shows. Everyone was dancing. Everyone was having a good time. This is before rave culture, where if you wanted to be at a show where it was just nonstop dancing, really you had to go to a funk show. That's where those vibes were at, where it was an interactive audience experience. And Rick James did it all. He had the pyrotechnics, explosions, fire, all kinds of stuff, glitter everywhere. And yeah, he was just a party, and nobody partied harder than Rick James. So going to play it for you now. This is a little track called Ghetto Life, and it is one of my all-time favorite songs. I hope you enjoy it. I was dumb and oh so lazy.
Thank you.
Curtis Mayfield, in case you didn't know, what a powerful track that is. Always a good time here at Chasing Sound, diving into the world of funk tonight. If you're staying home and staying safe tonight, I hope you're having a good time here with me. Briefly going to touch on Curtis Mayfield here. That's the track we just heard called Future Shock from his Back to the World album, which came out in 1973. Interestingly enough, if you're a guitar player, Curtis Mayfield tuned his guitar to open F sharp, which is one of the weirdest things ever. I think the idea was that he was comfortable on a piano keyboard, and that's an easy key to sort of bounce off of on the piano is F sharp. And so he just tuned up his I think he played a Fender Stratocaster most of the time. He just tuned that thing to open F sharp. And just went from there, and he was able to bounce these really unique rhythms. Such a singular guitar player. There's really no one that quite gets down on guitar like Curtis Mayfield. So try that sometime. Actually, once I learned that he was tuning that way, I tuned my own guitar that way just to mess around with it. It is funky. It is weird, and it puts you in a totally different space. You really have to grin and bear it with how much tension there is on the strings when you tune up to open F sharp. It makes for very tight strings, and makes me wonder if that's why you don't hear a lot of bending of notes in Curtis Mayfield's playing. It's got this wonderful percussive attack to it. His career began in the late 50s, actually, when he joined a group called the Roosters with Arthur and Richard Brooks and a cat named Jerry Butler, who you might have heard of. 2 years later, the Roosters, which then had Sam Gooden, became a band called The Impressions. And after that sort of played out, Mayfield started dropping solo albums. His first solo album, Curtis, was released in 1970, and it actually hit the top 20 on the Billboard charts. And it was also a huge critical success. The reviews on it were fantastic. And he actually, that album predated Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. So as far as really important Black American culture, you know, everyone sort of puts Marvin Gaye in this position of being super important to this sort of new wave of Black American culture, but he was actually predated a little bit, at least, by the mighty Curtis Mayfield. As far as that, you know, they weren't as heavy and gritty as, say, someone like George Clinton, but they had their, you know, Marvin Gaye and Curtis Mayfield had their own thing going. They had this vulnerability and this, you know, I wouldn't say political, but they had a social commentary to their stuff that was really interesting. Think about What's Going On, or think about Curtis Mayfield. Sort of, you know, these people are like, we grew up in these ghettos of America, and here's our report. You know, we are young men from these ghettos, and this is what we have to say about the things we're seeing and the treatment of the people around us and what we've got to work with as far as insufficient clothing, insufficient housing, insufficient everything. And the creativity that came out of those ghettos is just unbelievable, especially if you're looking at the early 70s. It was just a whole renaissance of sound and visual elements. It was just fantastic. Curtis Mayfield was also attached to some of the what's now known as the blaxploitation films. If you think of like Shaft and Blackula and all these films, they're looked at as kind of silly today, but at the time, these were movies that were made by, produced by, acted in, and musically scored by all Black people. So it was very important to that community. And there was some, you know, think about the soundtrack to Shaft. There's some good stuff on there, some really interesting stuff. So next thing we're going to get into is a solo cut from Eddie Hazel. This is from an album that never saw the light of day. It was basically, these were a lot of instrumental tracks that Eddie Hazel recorded. If you don't know Eddie Hazel, he's a guitar player from Funkadelic. He's the guy that did the song Maggot Brain, which is, you know, the story goes that his mother passed away, George Clinton being the constant businessman, took Eddie Hazel, threw him into a room with a wall of Marshall stacks and told him to just play his way through his mother's death. And what came out was the 12-minute guitar solo epic that is Maggot Brain. This was the guy that played that, and he did some solo stuff. He did solo tours at the urging of George Clinton. He kind of wanted everybody in his band to be a solo star in their own right. And these are sort of some cutting room floor tracks that never got released. And later in 94, they were put out under the title Rest in P, which was just a collection of Eddie Hazel solo tracks that never got previously released. And there's some gems on there. The one I'm going to play is a track called Until It Rains. And it's just a beautiful sort of down-tempo, almost ballady song tonight. Otherwise, if I don't play this, there's not going to be any ballads tonight. So I wanted to show you the gentler, more emotional side of funk tonight with the Eddie Hazel solo track. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Join me, your host, Ted Branson, for a blues groove every Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., internet only, online at koop.org. Together, we'll explore the history of the blues on a musical journey from its early roots to present day, highlighted with live in-studio performances and interviews right here on your favorite community radio station.
Support comes from Austin Community College, offering degrees and certificates in high tech, healthcare, automotive technology, and more. Now enrolling for January classes at austincc.edu. ACC. Start here, get there.
All right, we're winding it down tonight. This is Chasing Sound. Listening to us at KVRX HD3 or streaming us live at koop.org. Want to remind everybody that Saturday, January 12th at the Spider House Ballroom, there is going to be a co-op birthday blast. That's 24 years of co-op. An incredible lineup at 9 o'clock in the p.m. We got the Wagoneers. 7:30 p.m. you got the Peterson Brothers. The VIP tickets include co-op swag, some goodies, and also there's an early 6 p.m. set by Monty Warden and the Dangerous Few. It's going to be a really good time. You can check out more info at koop.org or at spiderhouse.com. Please come out, hang out, enjoy 24 years of co-op. If you can believe that, it's been 24 years. That's crazy. So yeah, that looks like it's going to be a good time. Tonight we are celebrating the genre funk, and we've done some very cool tracks tonight. I'm looking at my playlist. I'm looking at the clock. I don't have time for everything. So we're going to cram in as much as we can. Definitely want to play a Millie Jackson song tonight. So right before the break there, we had Eddie Hazel, Until It Rains from the Rest in Peace album. Before that, we had Future Shock by Curtis Mayfield. So yeah, we're going to do it. I'm going to play What Am I Waiting For by Millie Jackson. This is off her Live and Uncensored album. If you don't know about Millie Jackson, she made these incredible records that were unbelievably dirty. I'm talking use the F word and everything. Songs deep, heavy grooving songs about sexual relationships and just unbelievable in her biting comedic lyrics. And you never hear anyone talk about her anymore. It's crazy because to me, she made some of the funkiest stuff of that whole era, you know, 1970 to 1980. She had just some of the most slamming bangers of tracks. And this live album it's right up there with some of the best live albums ever made. So I hope you enjoy this track. If you don't know about Millie Jackson, you're in for, if you're interested, you're in for a fun ride if you check out her music and her history. So yeah, let's enjoy some Millie Jackson here from Live and Uncensored. This is What Am I Waiting For?
The note that said you're leaving home. believe he's coming back to me no more. Without you, baby. You see, I gave everything I had, but somehow you still found it in your heart to treat me bad. Hey, 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 why you wanna leave me, baby? Why in the world would you do this to me, daddy? You know how much I need you, baby. I don't believe you're gone. I keep on watching and holding, hoping and praying that any minute the man is gonna come back through the door for me, y'all. And I don't know what to do with myself. I get to walking around here in a daze. And I said, he ain't coming back.
Wrapping up Chasing Sound. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us tonight at KOOP.org, KVRX HD3 on your HD radio. That was Millie Jackson with What Am I Waiting For? And we're going to end off on Stevie Wonder, Tuesday Heartbreak from Talking Book. Hope you enjoyed. Everyone have a happy new year and stay safe.
Tuesday Break. Guess you just don't care, 'cause you found you another man. I wanna be with you when you're all alone. I wanna be with you when you feel you got another man. Didn't see, oh baby, alright. Seem to be a drag when you know that you love her specially. Catch up, baby. Catch up with my dreams. Maybe then I can see you all the time.